Father, I ask you to increase my faith, discipline, and resolve so that when I encounter difficult circumstances, my spirit is calmed. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Thank you, Patrice.
No problem.
Welcome, everybody, to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find more shows at keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. And like I said, that's Patrice. She's with us. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How you like the new studio?
I like it.
We're going to put more of that foam all on the wall and ceilings.
I'm telling you.
So it looks like we're stuck in a cave. You know how much foam costs? Foam.
The
egg crate foam.
Yeah, to soundproof everything.
Oh, do you want the pyramid style or the wedges?
Would you have to go like a Sam Ash kind of idea?
We went to Guitar something.
Yeah, Guitar Center. For foam, $30 for a 2x5 foot piece.
Y'all need to go on Amazon.
My God, $30 for foam. You really think somebody figured it out by accident?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The foam stops an echo in the room, and they got you.
You know how they did it? What they did was a couple of drunk frat guys were like, oh,
always drunk frat guys.
Yeah. Let's put this on the wall, and then we run and like hit it, mm-hmm. and like our heads will be fine. You don't need a helmet. And they did it, but somebody who was, you know, majoring in some kind of music something was like, hey, do you guys hear that?
They hit the wall, fell onto the floor, and they went, ow, and they went, wait a minute. I just said, ow, and nobody said, ow, back to me. I think this stops an echo.
It may have worked.
It seems like something you would put
packing things.
Yeah, you order a book from Amazon, you get foam for free.
Yeah.
Oh, it just seems, America, what a country. I'm buying foam.
And it's not special foam, it's just in a shape.
Yeah, it's egg crate.
Yeah.
It's
the foam has no healing properties.
You just want to buy a bunch of eggs and just put that on the wall.
See if
it works. Minus the eggs.
But we have blinds are up, you know, drapes rather. And all these things we're working on. This one guy, did you see his Kurt? He gave many. He's like, I'm hearing an echo, and here's what you do.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah.
Tear down a wall. He's not joking.
No one understands how New York works, huh?
Right. Tear down a wall. I'm like, I got drapes.
When you live in Oklahoma, you can tear down all the walls you please because they'll just throw in they'll have a barn raising and put another one up.
But also, every time somebody has a suggestion, they don't understand it's a couple $100 more that we spend, you know?
Right.
We're not just talking about egg crates. You think drapes and the rods and the hanging of the things.
Drapes.
Yes. This is Martha Stewart living, everybody.
Are those the blackout drapes? They look like the fancy ones.
I don't know. You know, we got the heaviest ones we could find at Home Depot.
The blackout ones are usually heavy.
And done.
This is Kurt. And we've met him at Bingo, by the way. But here's what he said. Not to the asshole, so I guess he means not to be the asshole, that says you need to fix something without actually saying how to do it. So here's a list of solutions for your echo.
Let's
from easiest to most complex.
See, but I also blame you, Keith, because when you say, you know, something's wrong with my studio, why don't you tell me how to fix it instead of just saying it? So in a way, this guy's right. He's like, here's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
And here's how to fix it.
Well, I have it then. I misspoke. Install bookshelves that fill a good portion of the wall where you can put your books, CDs, etc. Preferably soft, bulky things like books that will absorb most high-frequency sound. Get a rug for under the desks.
We have that.
Yep, I see a lot of rug.
Install floor or ceiling tapestries on wooden rods on at least two walls, preferably the ones behind the microphones, to absorb reflected sound before the microphone gets in. This system is also best done over the windows to keep the outside noise out.
So I vote you get the ones with like the wolves, like the black velvet.
Keep a plush couch along the wall. If the door,
we have that also.
If the door to the room is hollow, replace it with a solid door. Install a drop ceiling with acoustic ceiling tile at least 6 inches below the existing ceiling.
Wow.
You could drape the ceiling, but this almost always looks bad in a low ceiling environment and gathers a lot of dust. All fabric treatments should be cleaned quarterly.
Oh, now he's giving you home tips. Awesome.
Apply double layers of drywall.
Wow.
Y'all better get to work.
Whoa.
When's Bob Vila coming over?
Build offset wall systems. I don't even know what that is.
What does that mean?
I'll put a couch in one wall, bookshelves on another, drape treatments over the two other walls, rug or other mat below the equipment. I guess
that's
it's a breakdown at the end.
I see two bookshelves. to yeah, Jake's account.
Yeah, we're trying and we're adding. And this is the second live show from the new studio.
Oh, cool.
So, and I think the sound sounds good.
I understand if there is, you know, there is an echo and we're slowly fixing things here and there. This sound is better than the old studio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This sound is clearer.
Cleaner.
Cleaner.
Crisp.
Crisp.
You have to...
I'm very pleased.
It's all the C's.
It's just less stuff in this room. That's all it is.
Yeah.
This show, by the way, is brought to you by the Black Guy Who Tips podcast.
Oh.
You know about them, Patrice?
Yes, that's Rod and Karen. They're adorable.
The Black Guy Who Tips podcast is a comedy show by a married black couple who talk about pop culture and current events with their friends while using the N-word as often as possible.
Not as often as possible. Appropriate.
That's what they're saying, and oh. I don't...
How many times did you use it on there?
A bunch. Okay. But it was called for. We were talking about Steve Harvey. So.
Okay, that's fine.
He is an N-word.
I say it. Their motto, nothing's wrong if it's funny.
It's true.
Go to theblackguywhotips.com for information about the show. You have a fun time on that show?
I do. I can do it from my bed.
There you go. See? We don't let you do this show from the bed. They're nicer over there. I would never let you do that. Uh-huh. Martin Luther King Day, of course, coming this Monday.
Is it?
Yeah. I was going to just ask you, we're going to take off for it, but do black people do anything anymore? Are they so far removed from Martin Luther King? You don't do anything special, right?
Well, I also don't work in an office. So I think you have more of, you're more aware of it actually right. Coming up if you...
You're aware that you don't have the day off because I think at least half of the people that I know don't have Martin Luther King Day off. It hasn't become the major holiday that, let's say, Memorial Day is.
I have to always remember if you get mail or not. That's the one thing I have to remember on Martin Luther King
Day. I'm guessing no.
Yeah. I think it's a no mail day.
So you don't really celebrate. Do you say celebrate or you keep? You keep
observe.
Martin Luther King Day.
Observe. I don't personally observe it. He was lovely, though.
All right. You know what? Like, I'm going to watch, for Martin Luther King Day, I'm going to watch Look Who's Coming to Dinner.
That would be appropriate, more so than like Roots or something.
Right.
I mean, it was more when you were in school. That was the day that you were allowed to learn about him. You had to color in that picture of his face.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and you always be controversial.
Going to a white school, you have to know, pick up the brown crayon. And then there was sometimes he'd be burnt sienna, so he was actually like a brown orange.
Yeah, because what if not every child can have the brown?
Right. It was open to a personal interpretation of how brown he was.
And then you could see... Like some people actually pick up the black crayon.
Yeah. And you got to put it down. Put that down.
Do black people feel they have to see all movies about slavery? Like I feel I almost have to see all movies about a talk
what
show. Talk
what,
show
all
host.
Romantic comedies? There are no white movies. There's no white history right now.
But like Amistad, do you have to see that being black?
No.
I still haven't seen Schindler's List or I don't watch Holocaust movies.
Right.
I just can't because it's...
Have you seen The Pianist?
No.
See?
What's that? Is that...
That's Adrian Brody, his Oscar movie about the Holocaust.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was really good.
I'm glad you said that. I almost watched that. I thought it was about a piano.
Wasn't it The Pianist? Or is that the one with, what's her name? Not My Piano, Anna Paquin. Am I thinking of the wrong one?
I don't know.
No, that's The Piano. No, I was right.
Well, we're doing something special for Martin Luther King Day. In fact, beginning now to the end of Martin Luther King Day, all our black shirts are $5 off.
Nice.
And our black tank tops, because we don't segregate.
No.
That's right.
No, we do segregate, but we're not racist about it.
So you go to keithandthegirl.com/store, $5 off all shirts that are African-American. Just a little, that's how we observe.
So the black shirts, okay.
Right.
Yes.
I watched the beginning of, it's a 1967 movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It's about a successful black man, a doctor.
Sidney Poitier.
And this, I guess, naive, I can tell already, white woman is going to take him to meet her family. And just in the beginning, you know, her family's very well-to-do also.
Mm-hmm.
And all the help... At this white person's family is all black. And right now they're looking at Sidney Poitier. Have you seen this movie?
I've seen it.
They're looking at him like, you know, you're
sold
out or something. Yeah, I understand it's for the
time.
60s,
yeah.
Oh, the help is looking at him like he sold out?
Yeah, like, who the fuck are you? You're not supposed to be on this side of the game.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting into it. But you know what I noticed? And I've seen some of these old movies lately. Whatever's on the top, you know, your top 10, Gone with the Wind, all this stuff. Old movies know nothing about subtlety. The acting in old movies, and I'm talking Katharine Hepburn, you know, Spencer Tracy, all these guys. It's the acting is as subtle as porn acting. This is terrible. Now, I understand watching a movie for its time. You didn't have special effects, but they really learned how to be a better actor. I think your mediocre actors today, even in Ashton Kutcher, let's say, are better actors than these greats back in the day. There is no subtlety. They really move their eyeballs. You know, I mean, they spell everything out.
Is it black and white?
Yeah.
Look Who's Coming to Dinner?
Yeah.
No, it was color.
Really?
Yeah.
The version you saw.
Oh, really? It was originally black and white?
I think it was colorized. I want to say it was black and white originally.
Mm. So you can't tell who's who?
Maybe. Exactly. Have you seen the remake?
No, with Ashton Kutcher, right?
And
no.
Zoe Saldana and Bernie Mac.
No, I will not see it.
I did not know that was a remake.
Everything's been a remake lately.
That looks like such a clown movie.
I had a remake sneak up on me. I forgot they redid The Honeymooners.
What?
With,
The King of Queens?
Him and the black guy. I forgot. Mike Epps, I think his name is. Yeah, that one snuck up on me.
Well, no thank
Wait,
you.
No, not even King of Queens. Not even King of Queens. It was a black guy playing Ralph Kramden.
Yeah, I think it was one of the
spacing on it.
Who cares?
It was terrible.
But yeah, there's no subtlety whatsoever in these old movies. All the actors were horrible. Horrible.
I like them, though.
What? All right. I think you're wrong.
I like the old movies.
I think you're wrong.
What's the last old movie you saw?
I watched To Kill a Mockingbird for like the 50 millionth time again.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it again. I remember being a kid and watching it, and I loved it, and I don't know if they spell things out again. So you know what else I saw, or trying to see? The American with George Clooney?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
I'm like 20 minutes in, I'm like, I get it. You're old and you still work out. Holy shit, do something.
I don't even know what this movie is.
Good.
I saw on the poster, it looks like he's running. I was like, he's not talking to me.
Do you feel like you have to watch every American type movie?
That's why I had to see this movie. Yeah. It's called The American. He's not even in America.
Well, that's why he's the American, because he's parts elsewhere.
Oh my God, it's so... But I'm getting better. I will stop this movie and never watch it again.
You have to develop that skill, because I used to really like to watch shitty movies on purpose, but now sometimes you have to just let it go.
No, I used to watch them with hope, like...
That it'll get better?
Something about the end will make this redeemable, or, you know, I've already watched it. For some reason, I'm curious what will happen, even though you kind of know. Like, because it's mostly, right. You know, girly romantic movies. Well, what do you think is going to happen? Well, I want to see that it will happen, but now I'm just like, no, I can't watch the end.
I tried to watch the Oscar-nominated Johnny St. Cloud. No. I couldn't do it.
Who's in that?
The great Zac Efron.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. And I was like halfway through the movie. I'm like, I get it. You see dead people.
That's terrible. The movie looked terrible from the trailer.
I thought the trailer looked sweet. You see, his brother died.
You go in the woods to play with children? I don't want any part of that
that's
movie.
That's where the dead people have to go.
No.
Around trees.
I'm good.
And he says, I'm going to teach you to play baseball every day.
Why didn't he teach him while he was alive?
He tried to, and it was his fault that the brother died.
Oh, I remember. Oh, yeah. Keith Malley.
Yeah, exactly. Brother,
He has to go into the woods where they were going to meet and play
Do you understand
baseball?
In real life that no. If you told somebody you go into the woods to play with dead children, it'd be a whole different situation?
Patrice, let me explain this to you, okay? Because now that I know what the movie is, I understand. And Keith already has the stupid grin on his face. Let me tell you why he's watching this. Keith is madly in love and in La La Land right now, okay? So anything that is like... heart-wrenching and tugs on you, and it's just like, oh, I know what love is. Keith wants to relate to all the love in all the world with all the movies.
Is that a Nicholas Sparks situation?
But he won't go out and like talk to people about the love situation or how they're doing with their loved ones or what's going on in people he likes.
He has to watch Zac Efron play with their children.
Right, yes. Because no, that's going to be relatable because, you know,
we've all done
he
that.
Knows what love is now.
We've all done that.
This is so sad.
Isn't it so sad?
Just watch Ghost on repeat. And why it's much easier. At least that's a good movie.
And why would I? Why talk to other people? They don't have the love I have, and that's just sad.
They won't know.
But why this, rub
but
it in?
Guy, but when you have so much love, wouldn't you want to help other people have some of that?
I know it makes them sad. I go. I am so in love. Life is so good. And they're like, well, it doesn't feel that way to me. And I go, sucks to be you. And they leave depressed.
I'm calling your suicide hotline. That's what I'm doing.
You could not have thought this movie was going to be good. I am a sappy, sappy bitch when it comes to movies. And sometimes I do watch it just for the heart wrench of it, you know, for, you know, pulling on your strings and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this one, I was like, no, these people are too fucking pretty. They're too perfect.
And I knew we were going to be on that boat too much.
Yeah. And just the dialogue's going to be asinine, you know, just these really young people. And I know that these movies, they make it too upsetting. Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, there's not enough plot around the death of a little child. The death of a little child is heartbreaking.
What was
it's
that other
horrible.
One with the little girl that died with Stanley Tucci? That one was crazy.
Patrice is not remembering anything.
I don't
today.
Know. I have Alzheimer's today. Stanley Tucci, and he kills a little girl, and her ghost comes back.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
That movie is hilarious for the wrong reasons.
Well, I also, you know, there's movies. The mom gets cancer. Oh, stepmother.
That was funny.
The mom
though.
Has cancer, yeah. And she's gonna die. Yeah, I'm gonna cry. But it was a horrible movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you cried. Didn't they get you? No, you make anyone's mom die and have children cry about it on a screen. I'm gonna cry along with them. But I'm not saying that it's a good movie. I'm just saying you put in the right
elements.
Yeah, that's
it's like it's tricky.
Yeah,
you're tricking me.
You did, and you didn't do anything. You know, it's cheating.
Speaking about my love. Penda is convinced that I am either married already, Patrice, or engaged.
Why not? You're not doing anything.
In fact, that was the poll
Patrice,
one day.
If we had a poll. If you were to vote,
okay.
Is he married or engaged? Yes, married or engaged, or no, not married or engaged?
I'm going to go for a third option. Uh-huh. Promise ring.
No, see, we counted that.
Counted
the promise to be engaged counts.
Okay, there's a promise.
There you go.
Are Keith and Kat either engaged or married? Yes or no? 49% of people saying yes. So it's pretty much a 50-50. People think I'm already married or engaged.
How do you feel about that?
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, you think?
Yes. That it's not so
really?
Obvious.
Let me
to
read
people.
You some of your Twitters, and then we're going to see what's ridiculous about your life.
Your Twitters are exposed that your ovaries are ticking.
I love Catherine. It's 4 a.m. Golly gee.
Lol.
This is so sad. You guys are so sad.
Oh, Patricia, you were talking about The Lovely Bones before.
The Lovely Bones. Yes. There we go. Because that movie was solved within the first 10 minutes. If you're 13, you don't go into a hole with a grown man.
I actually do want to see that because I heard it was good, but I know I won't because I know that it's too heartbreaking.
I heard the book is way better. Like
I'm
the
not
book
read
makes
it.
I know. I heard the book makes it make more sense in my head. In 1970 something, 13-year-old girls do not get into holes with grown men.
Here's other polls that we had.
So you married or engaged? What's going on?
Are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
No.
All right. Is there a promise for marriage?
No.
There's no promise for marriage.
No.
You're full of shit.
Lies. Fucking lies. Don't like the lies.
If I was Lauren, I would be upset by how bitter your heart is.
It's all because she misunderstands your love.
Sorry.
This is a
There's an edge of jealousy and misunderstanding about your love.
I can't watch love movies, Keith, because no. I lost the one true love.
Mm-hmm. See? Instead of being happy
I feel it.
For me,
no,
you
I feel
think
it right
people
now.
Should be happy for me,
well,
right, Patrice?
If you were out about it, we can be happy for you, but right now we're just guessing.
Oh, Keith's in the closet.
I was born a woman.
He's in the love cupboard.
So sad. I feel sorry for everybody in this room but me.
You're a nice person, Keith.
Oh, we'll just get a tweet from his wedding.
But we won't know it.
Walking down the aisle.
Preston Button's a thing. It's hard. It's hard that everyone hates feelings except for Keith.
Exactly.
They don't hate feelings, the ladies in this room.
No.
They just aren't feeling.
No.
Love like I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's sad. I feel sad for both of you.
I feel sad for me too.
Yes.
Most of all.
When's the last time you were in love?
I feel like a lot of things.
When's the last time you were in love? Were you ever in love?
He's looking at Patrice.
Once or twice. Late 90s.
Yeah. You don't care at all, do you?
No. I'm a hard bitch.
All right. Well, here's some other polls. Do you wish you had...
Do you know, Keith, that you can't later on go, how long have we been married for, and count this time if you're married, no. Because you were not out.
Because you lied about your love. And love lies are the worst lies.
That if you come out with it a year from now, you have to start from that time.
We doesn't can do count. Whatever we want.
They have love.
That's what our true. Love's about.
I forgot what love has.
All the songs tell you, on the wings of love, they can do what they want. Because love will keep them together. And nobody's ever known a love like theirs before. Because they're on a love roller coaster.
I'm sorry, continue.
Okay.
Ooh. Do you wish you had superior autobiographical memory?
What?
Right. Yes or no? That's there's six people in the world who have this. The actress Mary Lou Henner is one of them. And they remember everything that they've experienced in their life. And
starting from about 11, though, right?
Well, one started at 11 years old. Mary Lou started when maybe six or so. And she can remember every second of every day she lived. The weather, you know, things you can look up, the weather, somebody famous or not famous died and she knew about it, she remembers. And she remembers little details like what she had for breakfast. Did the car start?
What day of the week was it?
Exactly.
Oh, okay, so she's extremely detailed, basically.
See, but I don't remember what day of the week it was two weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Like sometimes, but you knew then.
Sometimes I don't remember the day of the week today,
right.
You know? So so we were wondering, is that too much for your brain and you're just overloaded and everyone else is stupid and it just causes too much?
Well, I think if you have it from like 6 or an 11 and it's the only thing you know, it's not too much.
Would you want this or would you not want this?
No.
Oh, so there you go.
I said yes, I would want it. It would be tough to ever, I guess you hold a grudge.
Yeah, and the person will never know why. Like a super, super grudge. Like you tripped me that time.
Remember that Tuesday, January 15th?
The sun was going down and you tripped me.
And I would use it like, I don't know, put on shows and charge people to quiz me and things like that. You know, go on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Or be Sylvia Brown.
I mean, if you ever heard the answer in Jeopardy, it's going to come to you.
Right.
But you can't do it around your friends or you're going to be a douche. It must be frustrating to not correct everybody all the time.
But how does it work? Because you'll remember the answer from Jeopardy, but will you remember the answer or remember the context first? Because you have like 10 seconds to answer. Will you be busy remembering that you last saw it on Jeopardy on a Wednesday in 1992 before you remember the answer that is, what is a car?
Do, do, do. Like, all right. It was overcast.
I was wearing a pink shirt.
Well, they were testing them, and they gave them a date, and they said everything that happened in that date really quick. So-and-so died. You know, it was this weather. It was this day. This was happening. It was very quick.
51% of our audience would like this superpower. And that's what it is. It's nothing short of a superpower. And this is what I think people are talking about when they say we only use 5% of our brains or whatever it is. These people are up to 7.
You ever try to use more of your brain, you get exhausted.
Brain tired.
You know what I do? I use like the left side's artistic. Sometimes if I'm drawing or writing stand up or something, I'll deliberately use the other side of my brain just to mix it up, keep everything working.
It's like having doing fresh material without having to do anything.
Exactly. New York City was a poll. Yes or no?
Yes.
65% are saying yes, New York City.
Always.
Last Comic Standing, yes or no?
Never seen it really.
74% saying no.
Really? Uh-huh. Wow.
Is that still on?
It was just on, and Mike Kaplan came in 5th place.
Oh, that's right. I voted for him. I didn't watch it, but I voted.
Are you a sexual freak is a question.
Who was that addressed to?
You.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes or no? And yes is 54% believe they are a sexual freak.
The reason why we asked is that football coach had a video of him and his wife with
the foot fetish thing.
And I was saying, that's cute. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody has a little freak in them.
It's unfortunate it got out. That's about it.
Yeah.
It was cute. It was theirs. It wasn't for anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, it was for other people. I believe that he posted it on a site to share this freakiness with other couples.
Oh, with other freakies.
There's pictures of her. I mean, she's shown her body on the internet, including her vagina. And there are pictures of a black guy massaging her feet. So they're swingers of some sort, minimum.
I'm going to vote yes for Patrice.
That what?
She's a freak?
Yeah.
I'm quiet.
Yes.
Do you do anything special in bed?
No.
No, you just regular, or you no choking, you're not into anything weird. No, I don't see that.
Don't block my airways.
I see, right. I see somebody getting freaky with
because you Patrice. Might realize that you might remember that Tuesday, the day you were wearing a blue shirt, you're angry at me. No, don't choke me.
I almost picture with a cigarette in her mouth, just like yes. just fuck me. Yes. What are you doing?
Like Anne Bancroft, I'm on the edge of the bed with a cigarette.
Yeah. See, but that's freaky,
right?
Yes, because I don't smoke; it could give you cancer.
Patrice is like, "Are you done yet? There's a new Us magazine is out today.
I don't read Us magazine,
people.
That's a fetish. I don't do that.
Are you done? Tell me when you're done. Good. Patrice.
Keith Malley.
You dirty dog.
This loves making you bold.
Speaking of movies, did you hear this story? A Marine guy comes back from overseas. War, obviously. He's in, not vacation.
No one on vacation.
He comes back. Two rows of black teens are talking in the theater. He asks them to be quiet, please.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah. They were kicked out of the theater and did not take kindly to it. Waited for the guy with his girlfriend outside. It was game on. And they both get smacked around.
Smacked around?
The inside of my mouth was bleeding. I had blood coming out of my mouth that night.
This woman and her Marine husband faced a beatdown by a mob of unruly teenagers outside a Bradenton movie theater after asking the teens to quiet down during the show. For the first time tonight, we're hearing from that couple who are still dealing with injuries days after that attack. All new at 11, Chris Martinez spoke with them tonight. He joins us now with their story. Chris, how are they doing?
Well, Jameson, we actually caught up with them at the hospital where Federico Ferrari was being treated for neck pain because of this attack. This is a Marine on leave from Afghanistan. He's here for the holidays, and he never certainly thought he'd have to defend himself here at home.
It's disgraceful.
How else can anyone describe a date night that started with a movie and ended in a brawl?
I've never been hit like that, especially by a man.
You can still see some of the bruising that punch.
Patrice.
I know, she would laugh.
It was especially by a man. I've hit a bit or two in my day, but...
See, here's the thing. It's funny that the news called it a beatdown.
Yeah.
And was that odd to your ears?
I understand what you mean. I think it's strange when, you know, I'm watching the video to this. And it shows the guy and the girl, you know, walking down the parking lot, you know, his arm around her and then going into the theater. So obviously they didn't get footage at first. So they're like, walk into the theater like you did.
Reenact it.
Right.
Newsy's like, well, what movie was it? That's important.
That was so my first question.
You want to know the movie?
Yeah.
No, dead serious. Little Falkers.
Ugh. That's not worth it.
No.
Left behind.
Yeah. What are you missing?
Yeah, that's a little fucking ridiculous.
Kaylin Ferrari's face, a violent response to a simple request from her husband, asking two rows of teens at this movie theater to stop talking during the show.
He said, have some respect, be quiet, and they cussed at him.
That reaction was just the tip of it. After a movie manager threw the teens out, they waited for the couple to leave. And when they did, Federico and Kaylin were surrounded by a group of teens ready for a fight, and turning on Federico first.
They were basically jumping him.
Those punches and kicks lasted long enough to get Federico on the ground, and when he got up, most of his attackers were running away, except for the one coming towards his wife.
He looked at my husband, said he was going to hit me, and before I knew it, I was on the ground.
Kaylin was knocked out with that punch, and it wasn't the only one thrown. Manatee deputies say the fists kept flying at them when they arrived to break up the brawl. This cell phone video from Kaylin's phone shows the aftermath.
They've had to taser like 20 people.
Several teens were cuffed and taken away, and so was this 20-year-old woman who tried to stop one of those arrests from happening. For this Marine, home for a break from combat, the whole ordeal is just disgusting.
Going back to the States and fighting for this country and just seeing the criminal activity, especially to a woman, you know, it's like, what the hell am I fighting for?
Can you believe all that? Can I give you an idea of just how intense this all got? Kaylin tells us the reason many of those teens backed off is because a witness at that theater, a good Samaritan of sorts, he had a gun in his car, and he flashed that gun to that group to get them to leave this couple alone. Now, besides that 20-year-old woman we just showed you, deputies also arrested five teenagers that night, and those kids were just 15 to 17 years old.
See, but I don't know that anything could happen to them because did you get an eyewitness of who's the one that punched you in the face?
And they can charge them as a group, though. For inciting a riot and all that kind of stuff. I've seen it happen. I remember that happening once in high school where it was just like a group of kids.
That's good because it would really suck that they just got away with it just because, you know, you can just sort of flash mob on someone and then leave and then every teenager sort of looks the same.
Also, they get them in a room and they start snitching on each other real quick when your mom has to come to the police station to get you.
That's a bitch. One time, Keith and I were in a movie theater, and this guy was snoring on the other side, and he was in a row by himself. Mm-mm. And so Keith threw something on him to wake him up.
It was the Kurt Russell movie.
I was about to ask what movie it was.
True Blue, Blue Grit, Blue Shield, I forget. But it's about the L.A. riots. Mm. So we're at the part. It's really about, you know, a cop. Is he a good cop, bad cop, pushes the limits, what's too far? But that's when the time is taking place. The whole city's getting heated. So they get to the part with the riots where, you know, black people are just pulling white people out of cars and just beating the shit out of them for being white. It's the beginning and end of it. What was it? Was that the Rodney King verdict?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you're just being taken out and beaten. Some guy was snoring and I'm thinking like, well, this is a tense part of it, right? He's by himself. I take out a penny and I throw it at him. And, or was it candy?
I think it was candy
because it was a couple. I think like the third one. And then I hear, what the fuck? And I look where the sound's coming from. It's like two or three rows back. I don't know how many people. Five? I really don't remember how many people. But
five isn't a crazy number that you're saying, because it was a very small theater, and it was pretty much me and Keith on the right side, and then 5 to 10 people on the left side.
Mm-hmm. And they were all a group. This guy, I don't know why he was by himself. Maybe they know he snores.
Well, they were sort of spread out because it's, you know, nobody's there, so they were putting their feet up and, you know, just so, who cares?
What are you, gay? Don't sit next to me.
Right. So you're hearing mumbling like there's going to be some kind of fight now because they're all a group.
What?
And I believe, were they black?
Yes.
So this isn't a good time watching a movie about the riots.
It's time for a reenactment.
I believe they were brown of some sort.
Right. So they weren't white. Mm-hmm. And you're watching this movie, I'm the enemy.
Paper bag test failure.
What's the paper bag test?
Brown paper bag, are you lighter or darker?
Are you lighter
than this?
Or darker?
So, you know, we end up leaving. Then you hear, like, I can't believe this shit, you know, like behind me. And I didn't know if there was going to be some kind of fight or something. And then, and I think I'm thinking penny because a penny was thrown at me.
Yeah.
Landed beside me. And our car was there and we just got into our car. But yeah. Careful when you're throwing candy in the theater. I mean, I wouldn't have. I'm all for standing up for yourself. I wouldn't be with a girl, especially. I probably wouldn't even do it by myself. Two rows of teenagers, mm-hmm. and you're telling them to be quiet?
Teenagers, they have a special hormone that causes crazy from 15 to 17. Right. It's not even their fault.
I would get out and tell someone.
Yeah, I'd ask for an escort to my car. Like,
I wouldn't get out and tell somebody. You
wouldn't?
No. They're going to know you told somebody.
Yeah, because when you were younger, you always saw that one. Like, because I used to go to Valley Stream Movie Theater out in Long Island, and that was the one that had the shooting on Christmas Day.
Well, Valley Stream.
Yeah.
And sounds like a nice place.
It does. It's not. It's also where the Walmart trampling happened. But that theater, there'd always be like one older white guy that would mysteriously, after harumphing for about 5 minutes, would have to mysteriously leave the theater. Then come back and sit down with a self-satisfied look that you could see in the dark. And then all of a sudden, some group of teens would get escorted out.
So what would you do?
You leave. That's the end of the movie.
You leave and more so say something like, BT Dubs, I want my ticket money back. It's nuts in there. You need to go control your theater.
And I would say that. I would want my money back. You ruined my date.
Yeah.
Of course. And that's what you do. I saw Drag Me to Hell with, and there are four teenage girls.
Right.
Now I can take them all. But
no, you can't.
Well, who knows?
Well, who knows if their boyfriends are meeting them after? Who knows if they have a knife?
Right, I could still take them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you don't think so?
Teenage girls can. There's no more dangerous creature on God's earth.
Let me tell you some. I have Vaseline. I'm ready for you. I'll take off my earrings.
Mm. Oh, I was there with Relic, so we each would have taken two.
No, it's not about fighting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were there with a girl. He's there with a guy.
No.
All right, but anyway.
Because you're wrong. All they got to do is scream, and all of a sudden you're an animal.
So they're giggling and screaming and at everything. You know, there's this...
Because that was more of a funny horror movie than a straight horror movie.
But, you know, it starts with the old lady that gives the curse, and she coughs into... You know, they're just making her disgusting. She coughs into a napkin.
And there's, like, extreme phlegm.
Exactly. So the girls, you know, for so long, and I'm like, all right, forget this. Mm-hmm. So we leave, and I go, all right, I'll get a ticket. I'm not even asking. I'm like, I'll get a ticket for another time. It's too much. And they're like, so what are they doing? I'm like, it's real loud, and it's just too much. You walk in there for a second, and you'll see. And he says, well, they shouldn't be doing that. The manager. Well, they shouldn't be doing that.
I'm not their parents.
I go, okay, Continental. I didn't realize they shouldn't be doing this. Should I talk to them? So I go, well, they are. So mm-hmm. I'll just take a ticket now. And they're like, do you want me to say something?
No.
There's no point. And then they would just calm down? Or do you think they would go, I'm not saying anything. Mm-hmm. What a good movie you shouldn't talk through. Fuck you. No, just leave. Yeah, just leave, little fuckers.
MJG is reminding us, last year someone got stabbed in the neck with a meat thermometer for telling someone to shush. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah.
A meat thermometer.
Right. You just got off work at your butcher shop.
It's cold in here. Is it?
Well, the movie theater's next to the mall. Bed Bath & Beyond had a sale. Yeah.
So. And he's watching the thermometer like go down. You know what
your
I mean?
Your temperature's rising now, isn't it?
Newsy is asking me, Keith, are you going to get a gun for your new apartment? I don't know yet. I have to ask my wife how she feels about it.
Well, in New York, it's really hard to get one.
That's why you go to Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. Very.
It's hard to carry one. Even the people that we know who have guns don't bring it to New York because it's there's too much legal stuff around it.
The Californication is on to season 4.
I've yet to see it.
Me too.
I really enjoyed it when it first started. Then it started getting cheesy, and I like this David Duchovny character, you know, that he plays, which is himself.
Yeah, I was about to say he's method acting on this one.
Yeah, I mean, he in real life, David Duchovny has a sex addiction. So the best thing and most healthy thing to do to cure your sex addiction is to play a guy that has a sex addiction.
Right. Just act like you're rubbing on Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Right. I mean, he's faux fucking this 19-year-old. He's 50 years old in real life. This girl's 19, and there's him. You know, the girl's riding your dick, right?
If you're not really wearing a merkin.
Yeah, I mean, the tits are in your mouth. This is happening. I'm an actor. I'm an actor.
But you find that a lot in movies where the guy really is 50-something, and the girl is, if she's 30, it's crazy, you know? And you're supposed to look at it like, and that's not the plot. It's not the plot of, wow, she's 19, or wow, she's 20-something. The plot is not anywhere near that. It's just, hey, hot girl. Ooh, I get to have you because I'm a dude.
You remember that MTV show Breaking Point? Boiling Point.
That I was on mm-hmm. and pretended to boil.
Right.
Half threw a glass of wine in someone's face. You
That's
know what?
Method acting.
I still couldn't do it because I would never throw a glass in someone's face, really.
You did it. You were just half-assed about it.
I was half-assed about it because I felt bad.
Especially wine and not water.
Yeah.
So these two girls, Russian, doing the worst makeup Russian accent ever, are hitting on me, and Chenda, my girlfriend, will reach the boiling point. And if she lets these girls flirt with me, who they start taking their hand up my leg, they're about to touch my dick through my pants, but you should keep your calm if your boyfriend's like, yeah. I mean, the show is always ridiculous. You look like a pussy. Like, there was a guy, he's making a sandwich at the deli, you know, you're in New York City, all these are New York, you're running late, it's rush hour, you're getting some breakfast sandwich.
But it doesn't matter, the guy is picking his nose and then making your sandwich.
Ew.
But if you're a nice person, you will take the sandwich and pay for it, and then they give you the money. But all the scenarios are, you know, they should be testing you, do you stand up for yourself, or mm-hmm. do you just let people walk all over you?
Right, you should, if you reached your boiling point and didn't get your money, good.
Yeah.
They made that show. They've remixed it now because, what is it? Dateline does the would you say something?
Right.
Like where they have the Park Slope nanny being abused by the kid.
They fake it, right? They make up
it's
some.
All scenarios.
Right. Oh,
they have the
and
person in the park
it?
Yelling at the girlfriend. Yeah. And they wait, they like just observe to see who will stop and say something as opposed. Because there's one where it's like the entitled, like
That's
stereotypical Park Slope kid berating like the barely speaks English Caribbean nanny. Which would never happen, first of all. But they have that going on, and then they see who's like steps up to the plate and tells the kid, "Look, you're a child. Behave yourself."
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to step up.
Thinking
it would be the other
nasty.
Way around. You're
This kid was ridiculous, and the nanny. Well, I'm going to tell my mother that you said it. Da 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 da. And like this one woman, because the kid's being loud. First of all, this one woman turned from a keyboard like, "Just shut the hell up. Behave yourself. Sit down. Be a child." And that kind of stuff happens.
Can I tell you, I did that once. I was about to say I would say no to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But there was this kid behind. Lauren and I were sitting at a table, right? And this little one of those coffee sandwiches, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This kid behind me was left for a second without his mom, and he's like, "Ba la 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 fa la fu, me na na." I turn around and I go, "Shh," and I turn back around and shut up.
I've turned around and given the eye before. Like,
I give the eye usually.
For real?
Usually. Or maybe I turned around and said, stop it. But
I like that one better.
But I knew that I can get away with it because mom was like not in earshot. But if they are in earshot, I stare at the kid until they glance at me, until I get their attention. Mm-hmm. And then I look at them. I make the face like, really? And they stop.
The words sort of fall out their mouth. They stare back at you like,
So these shows, they're dangerous. This Marine probably thought he was being punked by 60 Minutes. I'll kick all your asses, two rows. This is so ridiculous.
That Boiling Points one was always funny, though, because it was always just like, well, you can't tell people are acting right now around you, can you?
Yeah.
This restaurant is just conveniently, everyone's spaced out just so.
Right. Everybody's staring at you. They would have, you know, the guy, he's filling up your gas in your car, but said he's peeing in it. Oh, you should just let it go. Well, anyway, one of these girls that you were spilling the drink on, she has a career. She's in Californication. She works for
some kind of
agency.
Her?
Absolutely, yeah.
I knew you were looking at them.
Yeah, slush.
And what's her name was on Boiling Points too, Lady Gaga, when she was still Stephanie.
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
What was she doing? Was she an actress or?
I can't remember if she was an actress or a participant, but yeah, back when she was brunette.
Hmm.
You would think that would make more news.
It did. It did at one point.
Oh, I don't pay attention.
Well, but I don't know. It's a little corny, the show, Californication, but I dig it. He's out of jail, if you're wondering.
So why do you dig it?
I like the character, but then I don't like the side stories going on. Like his friend is that bald dude from Sex and the City. He really annoys me. Hmm.
The one with the balding one?
He's bald, I mean, or he shaves his head.
I think it's the one who played the white husband to the Protestant.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
I loved him.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm sick of that wife that he used to have on this show and his little moody bitch daughter.
Sounds like quite the soap opera.
I like him.
I'm tuning in.
You're so convincing of how good this thing is.
He just overdosed the other night.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Who's the guy? Rob Lowe plays an actor in this movie, and he's going to be the actor in this Hank Moody, the main character. He's a writer. Mm. And Rob Lowe.
I thought he was a professor.
No, he, a lot of tough things. He had to be a professor to make money, so he's teaching. He was teaching English, but he wasn't really teaching. He was really just fucking the faculty.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Rob Lowe is obviously playing Brad Pitt, and it's brilliant.
Love it.
No way.
It's obviously Brad Pitt because of the mustache and beard is just so. But I mean, he really nails it. He's flaring up his nostrils. It's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I remember. Now I might have to watch.
They were both starting to get big at the same time, right? And they were both very pretty, kind of mousy looking. Mm-hmm. And then Rob Lowe fell off, and I was like, how come they're just as pretty? I never understood how Hollywood
got lumped in
worked.
With that 80s Brat Pack, and they sort of phased out collectively.
But why? You know what I mean?
Well, wait a minute. Let's keep in mind, he was in that underage sex video. That hurt his career.
Oh, Rob Lowe?
Yeah, two chicks, both underage. He decides to be smart to videotape them.
Barely.
Well, you got to put a limit somewhere. Barely.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen, by the way, speaking of fucking, he takes a little break from his show, you know, being the highest paid actor of any show on TV. He's at the AVN Awards, the porn awards.
I love him.
I know, right? No one's going to get me.
Who cares?
Everybody's always like, who would you want to be? Like, I want to be Charlie Sheen.
You do a family show. Maybe you should keep a low profile for a little bit ever since you did coke and passed out in a restaurant bathroom. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Who cares? I'm fucking three porn stars now.
I love him.
Who cares?
So he's the only one that doesn't have to apologize. No. Everyone has to apologize for anything. They said something was misunderstood, they had sex with whoever. I have to apologize to everybody in the whole world. This guy, it's a Tuesday.
His reasoning is literally, you've met me before.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't even say anything.
Well, he has said, a guy can't have a bad day. Rehab 7 times, shot his wife, you know, at the time.
She started it.
I think that he's doing it right. Yeah. He's like,
He's literally a rap song. I'm just doing me.
He's a rap song.
Andy Dick was at these same awards.
See, he's doing it incorrect, though. Andy, he does the same thing, but for some reason, Charlie Sheen gets away with it.
Well, I guess Charlie Sheen's a little more handsomer.
That is true.
I don't think it's that. I think Andy Dick does it and is like, how come nobody's looking?
You know, he's more aggressive about it. Yeah. Charlie Sheen is the he's the Dennis the Menace. He just gets caught like, I didn't know I was supposed to have a cookie before dinner.
Right. Andy Dick's a groper the likes of the grabber's never seen. I mean, he's like, I'm Andy Dick. He's squeezing tits. He's going up to these porn stars. He doesn't care if they're, you know, men in drag. And he's being, you're at a porn award show.
You don't have to work so hard.
Right. Yeah. And it's too much.
Yeah. Just be nice. Yeah. Just be nice.
You're trying to be controversial at a porn convention.
They want to fuck you. Yeah. That's how they breathe.
And his drunk has a sadness to it. You can look in his eyes and see that he doesn't really want it.
So he gets kicked out. But I saw, and I know how this guy works. I've seen it. He, at a bar on the Lower East Side, we would always go after Surf Reality.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw him there. And I talked to him briefly about rating for him. I remember that very briefly. And then ever since then, he was all over me, very touchy. And I'm like, this is weird. And that was it.
And let me tell you something. I think for a celebrity to make someone else feel weird in terms of you're giving me too much attention is bizarre, because everyone wants that attention, right? Oh, this is Andy whoever, and this is so-and-so, and oh, I hope he looks at me, I hope he, you know,
says... And not even that, maybe I'll get a job from him, he seems to like me, and then I'm like...
This is too much.
Yeah, you're shaking my dick, hello, like...
You're not going to pay enough for the amount of attention. No.
Forget the whole thing, and then my buddy Craig, he went back to my buddy Craig's place to look at his art. I am convinced they had sex.
Love it.
Convinced.
Love it.
Craig won't admit it.
Why would he?
But you don't let Andy Dick gets it done.
His name is Andy Dick.
You let me in your house. He let me in his house, Your Honor.
And you know what I mean by house, huh?
Yeah, I would sooner invite a clan of vampires into my house than this Andy Dick.
You may enter.
Yeah, yeah. The Andy Dick's like, it's like, come in and Andy Dick says, you have to say it a full sentence. Come in. You're welcome here, Andy Dick. Can you just say that?
You get to a clan of them?
I'll tell you, it seems less.
I would invite the entire cast of Twilight to my house.
Before this,
Andy Dick come over.
But yeah, they kicked him out because he was just too much.
You have to work hard to get kicked out of the AVNs.
It does. It's like the drummer getting kicked out of Guns N' Roses for doing too many drugs. You know, it's like
that
strange.
One has a chicken bucket on his head. Yeah. How'd you get kicked out?
He gets kicked out, and then he watches the awards online. It's like best gangbang. Everybody's tonguing each other. He's like, what am I doing wrong?
That's terrible.
I don't get it.
So wait, Charlie Sheen presented?
No, Charlie Sheen was just there to fuck.
Oh, he was just there to hang out. Okay. Yeah,
he knew what he likes will be there.
I thought he at least had a function. No.
Oh, no. You don't MC that. That's Charlie Sheen.
He was there being Charlie Sheen. Well, that's his Oscars. That's the closest he'll ever get. So.
You know what's funny? If they gave him an Emmy at...
They need to like name an award after him. A Charlie Sheen Lifetime Achievement Award.
Too cool for school award. Yeah.
I think, by the way, in my autobiography, I was talking about... I thought about being in porn when I was younger.
Love it.
And then I read a little bit about it. And
you didn't even know what sex was.
Sure. What do you mean?
When was this?
Oh, in my 20s. I'm like, maybe I'll do
it. Oh, in your 20s.
What was the reasoning? That it was just getting paid to have sex?
Yeah. So what's the reasoning?
I don't know. I mean, if you know enough about it, you know the guys that actually make money, it's a stamina thing. It's not just willing to have sex for money and be videoed and people know about it. It's can you actually hang?
Oh, and then you start hearing stories.
Wait, after that, what guy is going to say, oh, then no.
Right.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, no, you know what? No.
I think I'll change my mind on that one.
But then you hear stories that do make guys feel better. I mean, these people take these porn stars, the guys, they'll take syringes of liquid Viagra and shoot it right into their dick. You know, so you guys watching these porns, I don't remember that. If you're not willing to go that length, no pun.
Right. And you get paid, but also remember that it's still nowhere near what the women get paid. You actually only get paid as a man if you do gay porn. Those are the guys that get paid.
Well, that's where that was the problem.
Yeah. That's why they have gay for play.
But I did have, remember that? Candice Royale. She did porn. I was working at a editing place. And she came in and she's editing some porn or whatever. And I brought it up like, hey, I'm into it. Now, she must get that all the time. I don't think if she knew I was serious. But if she would have called back, I probably would have done it.
What would your porn name have been?
Well, how did you do it? They say you take the street, right?
And your first pet. Your first pet and the street that you first lived on.
White Oak.
That's funny. Mm-hmm.
What's your first pet's name?
Prince Oak.
White Prince?
Oh. Prince Oak.
Prince Oak is a great name for a porn star. Because, you know, your dick is the oak, you know.
I already had that down. That was that's the hard part, wink.
I thought you would call it something like Keith a lot of ding dong.
I take my porn career very seriously.
I'm sorry that I don't.
That's okay. My porn career and
you
my
love.
You could
have started a whole new genre, comedy porn.
I hate that.
I knew you'd be mad.
I hate comedy porn.
Sounded like I made it up. I hate it.
Oh, I'll watch porn sometimes and it goes, they have bloopers now.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Ew.
Outtakes.
Yeah. What outtakes do I need? You're going to the clinic? Oh.
There's a Tron porn.
That's okay.
Okay.
Prawn.
Prawn, yes.
An Indiana man told cops that he didn't know that the woman he was having sex with was dead.
Oh.
This guy, Richard Sandin, he was busted for necrophilia. He said he had been seeing this woman for a few months and didn't realize she was dead until he noticed during sex that she wasn't breathing.
He just thought she was a good listener.
Was she alive when they started?
She never wanted to go out.
I don't know all the details, but honey, I didn't know. It's like watching, the movie The Sixth Sense.
I want
to
talk.
He didn't realize he was dead. He keeps talking to this woman. She's never answering him for months.
I want to talk to the women he dated before this woman.
Yeah.
Because that's what sex is supposed to be to him, where she just lays there.
She's quiet. Or did she have a heart attack during? That could happen.
But then you
but
keep going.
But how do they know that she was dead?
There's a difference. If somebody dies in the middle of having sex with me, I would notice. I'm going to put that down for the record.
Well, no, if an orgasm coincides with a heart attack, you may not necessarily notice.
But he kept fucking her.
Well,
this would not be in the news if
I
she
was
just.
Trying. But how did they figure out that he was having sex with her while she was? Who knocked on the door?
I think she was dead for a while.
Did one of those tests where they find out what time you died.
I hope Kevin would notice somebody's dead. She noticed Lauren didn't feel like a woman. I don't know how to bring this up, but you feel dead. Oh my God, you know me. I am dead.
Everyone's writing in with their porn names now.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Any good ones?
Mama Margate and Sambo Thom.
That could be interesting if it was like a Thai person.
I don't know.
There's going to be a new TV show called Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23.
Yes, I heard about that.
I like that title.
It's about somebody who moves from the Midwest to New York and lives with a bitch. Basically.
All
right.
Well, we're getting there. We're going to get those 7 words on TV after all. We're very close.
It's the test title. It'll probably get changed by the time show's produced.
An Italian man was hit in the head by a stray bullet on New Year's Eve. The bullet entered the right side of his head. He's a 28-year-old. It passed behind his eye and hit a nose bone before lodging into his right nostril. He goes to the hospital. He ends up sneezing in the hospital. The bullet came out when he sneezed.
I thought you were going to say the bullet discharged in his head.
Because
that would have been fucking bananas.
Oh.
And I bet you the hospital still charged him. Yeah. You know? He's like, I did it. I sneezed.
We gave you a tissue.
Yeah. Our $2,000 tissue. A man found his stolen motorcycle on Craigslist. He's messing around on Craigslist and he saw somebody was selling his bike.
I've heard of that happening.
So he sets up a meeting, verifies that's his bike, and then calls the cops and everything.
Then he calls the cops?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you involve them right from the get-go?
I'd be like, meet me in front of the 23rd precinct. I'm going to be paying you a lot of cash and I'd feel more comfortable.
The Huffington Post, it's an online magazine, right?
Yes.
And very liberal, right? But I saw this story on there. 3 Mohawk, New Jersey women were arrested after they allegedly tried to sell cases of Four Loko to undercover cops. Police say detectives posing as college students responded to an advertisement on Craigslist and set up a meeting to buy 3 cases of Four Loko for $335.
Wow.
The 3 women, all in their 20s, were charged with selling an alcoholic beverage without a state license. Mm-hmm. Four Loko was banned in New York last November, which quickly resulted in a black market on Craigslist where the caffeine-infused alcohol beverage is sold for as much as $8 a can.
Well, the thing is that they got... I didn't read this story, but knowing
you think this is the best thing that happened to them, or they're not getting any
to Four Loko.
Yeah,
they're not getting.
It's not illegal to buy what's left, so they're technically being charged with selling alcohol without a license. Right. It could have been Budweiser. It could have been anything. But just because it's Four Loko, they're getting the press. Because they have to rework their formula, I think, to take out the death and just keep the murder.
Right.
Like, they have to take one of the elements out.
The drink was outlawed in New York State because of its caffeine and high alcohol content. Each can has as much caffeine as a cup of coffee and as much alcohol as six beers.
Yeah, it's an upper and a downer at the same time, which is dangerous. I've seen people drink it. I've never drank it. I know better.
I took a couple sips. Mm-hmm. It did not take long before, honestly, I felt flush.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange.
That's the first quality you notice in somebody who's drunk Four Loko. Their eyes go like their eyes check out and they're hot pink. It doesn't matter what skin color they are hot pink.
And then you'd say like, Your Honor, this drink, it makes me flush and fucked up. And the other, you know, they're smart asses, these Four Lokos, like, well, what's in it that's so bad? Like, I fucked up juice. Yeah. I don't know.
Anytime I put guarana in something, I'm sketchy on it.
Well, I brought up the Huffington Post. A airline passenger got into a war of words with internet media mogul Arianna Huffington for using her BlackBerry aboard a plane, claiming that Huffington risked the safety of other travelers by selfishly ignoring the rules.
For how long is what I want to ask? Because I have to admit that when they, as soon as we start moving, then that's when I start shutting down sometimes because I'm like, oh shit, I just have to finish this. But, but if you're in the air and doing it, first of all, how? And congratulations. And second, you know what? People are already nervous on an airplane. Put it away.
Well, she could have been on that, what is the airplane mode where she was just, you know, answering emails and putting them in drafts and not necessarily transmitting anything. Because you can have it on and not have it on.
That's true. You could be looking at pictures and like titling your pictures and stuff. That's true.
You don't actually have to be transmitting anything.
She was putting the use of her BlackBerry ahead of the safety of the entire plane, this dumb bitch says. Ellis Beledoff. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? You just wanted something to make us think about. Is Al-Qaeda doing that? Let's call each other. Same time.
Yeah.
Plane goes down.
Let's play Scrabble and knock all these bitches out the sky.
Yeah. Let her write on her fucking phone. Who cares? The flap arose Saturday night when Huffington, a noted author and columnist who owns the online Huffington Post, was on a United jet about to take off from Dulles Airport in Washington to LaGuardia. This bitch woman, Beledoff, denied reports that things have gotten out of control. Oh, this is a guy. This is a guy, Ellis. He says, but he did chastise her.
Ooh.
And he's proud that he spoke his mind.
Well, maybe he was thinking he's on that show. Would you say something?
Yeah. No.
No.
Type in your fucking phone. Somebody texted, now the plane's going down. Get out of here.
I think that's like the aspirin warning on the bottle. It takes a little bit more than they let you know, but they just want you to behave yourself.
Oh, my God. Turn off your thing.
Yeah.
You know, I really, all flight long, I just look at them and type buttons, go, ooh.
Because really, they would ask for your phone at the start of the flight if two BlackBerries knocks out a 747.
Right.
If they don't trust you with a can of Coke that you bought on the other side of the metal detector, they're really not going to let you sit there with a plain knocker outer the entire flight.
Hey, by the way, speaking of drugs, Brett Favre's sister is busted for cooking meth. You hear about that? They're
if
having
I was
a time.
Famous, I'd kill all my siblings because they, everybody could fuck it up for you.
Well, who's more messed up? You know, Brett Favre is sending his tiny dick pictures being...
his dick pictures really were sad.
Quite inappropriate with coworkers. And now the sister's a meth head. Whew, that whole family, the Favres.
Favre.
Yeah. Coming into my house.
The Favres.
In fact, see, that's fancy what you say.
I have a list of people I don't let in my house.
Vampires.
Vampires.
No, vampires get invited in.
I'd have them in before.
Well, it's a murder, death, kill. Right. Marry, fuck, kill.
Okay. Here's what I would do.
Okay.
Fuck,
so,
marry,
so between,
kill.
So between Brett Favre, vampires, and Andy Dick.
All right. I would marry the vampires.
Right.
I would... Well, okay. I would kill Andy Dick.
Right.
It really gets annoying. And I would fuck Brett Favre because you don't really feel it.
There you go. All right. Yeah, if you don't feel it, it doesn't count.
All right.
If only that could be the poll for today.
Yes.
let me mention this, by the way. A lot of things going in the Keith and the Girl world. We are looking for interns. How's this get done, Kim? Do they send an email in and curse a lot?
you know, pretend you're looking for a job. but we're not going to pay you. But I believe that our interns get some perks and you do get experience, and we are much better located right now. Mm-hmm. So send an email to info@keithandthegirl.com. And if you have a resume, please attach that. If you want to let us know any information about you, absolutely. Just like you're looking for a regular job. We're welcoming interns now, in the future, whenever. We're in New York. We're in Astoria. And we're looking forward to meeting you.
Yes. And all the interns receive my love.
That's I do love true. Them all. Patrice had sex with every intern
all
we had.
All of them at That's the nice same time. No, I love all of them. You've yet to have an intern I didn't like. And I'm not good at liking people.
There you go.
I'm not going to start naming things, but whatever.
It's not why I brought it up.
At least one comes to mind, but whatever.
Was there somebody that Patrice didn't like?
That was different. That took time.
I didn't know that she was in love with intern Mike.
Yeah, did Mike get on your
nerves?
I didn't
understand him. He was a quandary for me. Yeah. He made me tilt my head. You know what? I like him when he's 30.
Oh.
He needs to grow. He needs to get out in the world, let it knock him around a little bit. He was just too fresh.
I don't think she's not hating him or anything.
No, I didn't hate him. Yeah. But if we're ranking, he unfortunately falls towards the bottom of the heap.
You could find, if you don't know who she's talking about, at keithandthegirltv.com. And I believe the episode is titled The Branding.
Yes.
And he gets the side of his body. I'll tell you what.
Bless his heart for that. Cause...
What a man. You want to talk about being a man? Whole branding. And not like, it is like you're searing your skin. You're mm-hmm. branding like cattle. However, cattle have it easier. Mm-hmm. You take the branding, stunned. This is like lasered into your skin.
It's
burnt.
Forever.
It's burnt. Yeah. You're burning this into your skin. It's amazing to watch. I'm going to have to watch it again right after this show.
And I do believe that it's the biggest tattoo or...
The biggest piece of anything going on.
Elvis has his arm.
Right.
But this one piece is the biggest piece, I think.
And it's the one that makes you do that little shudder.
Yeah, oh God. I had a hard time watching it, but it's a very good video.
Although the best moment he ever had was never recorded. It was over the summer when he decided he was going to become a smoker.
Right.
Oh no.
Shit broke my heart. I was like, it's because you're a baby. If you don't pick up smoking at 15, leave it alone.
Well, he's trying out different personalities. And that one was a smoker.
Smoker bike didn't work out.
No, it was short-lived.
He was kind of like, it was like a palsy to holding the cigarette while blowing it. Like he didn't understand upwind, downwind. And he was ashing all over the place and not quite inhaling it. And it was...
Right. It is funny when you see, like, some people... It's like holding a fork right almost.
Yeah.
It's like you're not a smoker.
It's like, give me $10 and I'll give you a candy cigarette. It'll work out better.
Speaking of banning, the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council has ruled that Dire Straits' 1980s hit Money for Nothing is too offensive for Canadian radio.
What? Money is for nothing and your chicks for free. Look at them faggots. Them guys ain't dumb.
Mm-hmm. It's a little different.
Yeah.
But very close.
I'm pretty close. Yeah.
Money for Nothing and Your Chicks for Free. And it's about Motley Crue. And
this guy was working in an electronics store. And somebody who a patron came in, looked at the video. And that video was on, you know, back in the day, they had all this makeup on and, you know, all the chicks in the video. And he's like,
androgynous thing, yeah.
Yeah, so they take the quotes from what that guy is saying, like, look at these faggots. Maybe you get a blister on your little finger. Like, I should have learned to play the guitar. I should have learned to play the drums because these guys have it so easy. And
I think instead he's a mover.
Yeah.
Well, the ruling was in response to a complaint against St. John's radio station CHOZ FM. The listener complained that the word faggot, which appears 3 times in the song, is extremely offensive to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. By the way, they did do another version. They took that out.
Yeah.
The council is an independent body created by Canadian radio and television broadcasters to review the standards of their content. We have a show called Don't Trust That Bitch in the Apartment. We're a little more advanced. I thought these other countries were more advanced.
But look how interesting it is how long of a run this band got. It's only recently, I mean, fairly recently in terms of how long they had their hit going. They've been going for a long time that now people are like, wait a second, they're saying faggot. It took people a long time to hear that.
They're happy for the recognition. Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe our iTunes sales are going up so people can...
I think they did, yeah. And they have 2 different versions of it, the non-faggot and the faggot version.
The award-winning song was the first single off of Dire Straits' album, Brothers in Arms, and has been an international music staple for 25 years. The council ruled that the song contravenes its ethics code, which states broadcasters shall ensure that their programming contains no abusive or unduly discriminatory material.
How do you play any rap music?
Yeah. Exactly. The new Enrique Iglesias is threatening to fuck you. He threatens to fuck. I'm going to fuck you tonight. Is that a question or a statement?
When Jay-Z says, I don't do their show, but they don't play my hits. So who gives a fuck? He's talking about Canada. Nothing can be played. Or comment which is based on matters of race, national or ethnic origin, color, religion, age, sex, sexual orientation, marital status, or physical or mental disability. It ruled that faggot, when used to describe a homosexual, is, even if entirely or marginally acceptable in earlier days, is no longer so. The offending lyrics being the little faggot with the earring and the makeup. Yeah, buddy, that's his own hair. That little faggot's got his own jet airplane. That little faggot, he's a millionaire.
It's great lyrics in terms of, like, when you know the backstory.
Right.
It's great. This guy who's, like, a real blue-collar guy, right. A real, you know, like, bust his ass every day. And he's like, look at these fucking faggots. My God. They're playing the guitar. They have all this money. They have all these chicks. And they have, you know, full-on
makeup.
It's an
envy statement. It's not, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is. It's definitely wrong. But, I don't know. It's just interesting.
I see Brother Love, I Am Me. about 6 minutes ago and said LOL. What do you think I said there? Curious.
He when we were talking about the interns and you said, Patrice, that you're gonna give them all your love, Brother Love says, my love too, winky face.
Oh Larry.
Yeah.
So you have so much going for you when you're an intern for us.
You do.
Yeah, he just wrote me, I can fold a shirt.
No, you can't. You twitchity motherfucker.
Yeah, you've had a long run of boy intern. Girl interns, you can come too. You'll have fun.
Yeah.
Let me mention this one more time. Today's show brought to you by the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. The Black Guy Who Tips podcast is a comedy show by a married black couple who talk about pop culture and current events with their friends while using the N-word as often as possible. Their words, not mine.
Okay.
Their motto, nothing's wrong if it's funny. Again, their words, not mine. Go to theblackguywhotips.com for info about the show.
They've had some good shows lately, too. They had that sports guy, Bomani Jones, on and a whole bunch of other people that were really good.
All right. Patrice, what are you up to?
Keeping it real.
You keeping it real? You keeping it nice?
Yeah.
Is that the New Year's resolution?
It's the every year resolution, but yes.
Do you fly or do you levitate?
A little bit of both. It depends on the situation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very good. What's a website people can see about your comings and goings?
It's helenheartaches.com.
Okay.
And yeah, and then I'm on Twitter, Patrice, and Facebook, just search my name and you'll find me.
What's new over there at Helen Hardix? What's going on?
Today the rat video hit here in New York, which breaks all rules about rats that I ever believed in the subway in New York.
What's a rat do?
I thought we had an understanding with the rats.
Right.
But this rat, and it happens on occasion with rats and pigeons where they get into the car of the train as opposed to just being the thing you see down by the rails.
Okay.
And he climbs on somebody.
In the subway car.
And I didn't know that was possible. Like, I thought they had a relative fear.
Yeah, they're getting brazen.
I have to believe that maybe it was sick. Like,
I think I would have a heart attack and die.
I would take all of my skin off.
Yeah, because they poo as they run. So I don't know what the hell is happening. Ugh. No. Yeah, so I saw the video. Climbs on the guy's face.
Yeah.
And the guy's sleeping, wakes up to a rat right there.
Yeah, poor homeless fellow. And he was kicked out, and the rat just, like, scurried up his leg and across his face, and he just...
Do you think that he was more attracted to the homeless guy because they like the...
Well, no, he previously in the video goes to go, like, behind someone's pant leg, and the guy lifts his feet up.
Everyone seemed very calm for this happening on the train.
I would have loved... You would have found out how, like, I can let... You want to talk about levitation.
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, you don't want to make a scene. You don't know if this rat has a knife.
That is rats. True. We are on the subway. His friends might be getting on at the next stop.
If his rat boyfriend is picking him up, yeah.
Well, there you go. Check out Helen Hardix. See this rat video. See what Patrice is up to. And that's all I can tell you. Tomorrow we're going to be hanging out with Brother Love.
Oh,
he's got some stories.
I'm sure he does.
He dated this chick.
We dated her.
Yeah, dated. Yeah.
What happened?
Let's just say we both knew about love.
Ha! I've heard about Brother Love knowing about love.
But now he's ready to talk. He's spilling it all. So there you go. Everybody have a great night. And kisses to my fiance. KeithAndTheGirl.com.